This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
Have you ever found yourself, I mean, really agonizing over a button on your website?
Oh, yeah. Constantly.
Right. Yeah. You know the exact scenario. You're sitting there staring at a screen, just debating whether the submit button should be, like, red to create this intense subconscious sense of urgency.
Right.
Or if it should be green, you know, to give the user a psychological go signal.
The classic green means go.
Exactly. And you've probably read, I don't know, a dozen different articles from self-proclaimed marketing gurus swearing that this one tiny aesthetic tweak, just changing a hex code, basically, is the absolute secret to doubling your sales overnight.
It's an incredibly common trap to fall into, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly because we are just constantly bombarded with these micro hacks.
Oh, for sure.
There is this deep psychological comfort in believing that complex business growth could be solved by something as simple as, you know, adjusting a color palette or adding a drop shadow.
Right. It feels easy.
Exactly. It gives us an illusion of control in what is otherwise a pretty chaotic digital environment.
But the reality, though, is that you change the color, you refresh the page, you wait a week, and you get absolute crickets.
Nothing happens.
The needle doesn't move an inch. So today, we are putting an end to that specific flavor of frustration. We're doing a deep dive into a highly analytical and honestly somewhat ruthless article.
Very ruthless.
Yeah, it's by Joe Medico from Double Dome Digital Marketing, and it's titled High Impact Website CRO, Why Your CTA Button Color Doesn't Matter and What Actually Does.
The piece is a really necessary wake-up call, I think.
It really is.
Because it completely dismantles this entire industry-wide obsession with aesthetic pixel pushing. It forces us to confront the harsh mathematical reality of what actually turns a passive, you know, skeptical website visitor into a tangible, high-quality B2B lead.
So our mission for this deep dive is to cut through that aesthetic fluff. We're going to figure out the actual structural mechanisms that drive revenue, especially now that we are navigating this very unique, highly automated internet landscape of 2026. Okay, let's unpack this.
Well, to understand why those old guru tricks are failing so spectacularly today, we first have to really examine the macroeconomic environment we are operating in.
Okay, set the stage for us.
So the source material points directly to a phenomenon they call the AI slump.
The AI slump. Yeah, that phrase alone just sends a shiver down the spine of anyone managing a marketing budget right now.
It should, because it represents a fundamental shift in user behavior and, crucially, acquisition costs.
Right.
The reality of 2026 is that traditional website traffic has become staggeringly expensive to acquire.
Like painfully expensive.
Yes. Customer acquisition costs, CAC, are just through the roof. And a major driver of this is that AI tools, specifically Google's search generative experience and standalone platforms like ChatGPT or Claude, they are actively intercepting your traffic.
Meaning the user types in a query. And instead of getting a list of 10 blue links to click like the old days.
Right, the classic search results.
Yeah, instead of that, the AI just reads those websites in the background and prints out a neatly summarized answer right there on the search page.
Exactly.
So we are basically living in a zero-click search reality.
We are. The AI acts as a barrier between you and the general public. Because of this, the sheer volume of top-of-funnel traffic hitting your domain has just plummeted.
Right.
However, and this is key, we have to look at the psychological profile of the person who actually does bypass those AI summaries and actively clicks through to your website.
Well, that makes sense because they aren't just casually browsing anymore, right?
Exactly. They are on a highly specific mission.
They've got intent.
Massive intent. When a highly motivated B2B buyer lands on your site today, they are already deep into their research phase.
Right.
They are not going to be swayed by a pleasing pastel background or like a rounded button corner.
Yeah, they don't care.
They don't. They are actively evaluating your technical competence and looking for concrete reasons to trust your business with their capital.
You know, the article frames this beautifully from the perspective of a CEO.
Oh, I love that part.
Yeah, like imagine you are a business owner and you're spending $15,000 or $20,000 a month on digital marketing.
A very realistic number.
Very realistic. Mm. And having an agency sit in your boardroom and present a slide deck on, quote, button color psychology is just beyond exhausting.
It borders on professional negligence at this point.
Seriously.
A CEO authorizing that kind of spend, they don't care about the signal to noise ratio of a graphic design element.
Right.
They require transparent reporting that maps directly to the balance sheet. They want to see the mechanism that turns X dollars of ad spend into Y dollars of pipeline revenue.
Let's use an analogy here because I think it helps picture it. Imagine you own a massive brick and mortar store, right?
Okay.
But the store is completely empty on the inside.
Just bare walls.
Bare walls. There are no shelves, no products, no cash registers, no staff, nothing. And you hire a consultant to fix your sales, and they look at this empty building and they say, well, if we paint the front door a really vibrant shade of red, people will definitely come in.
That illustrates the problem with pixel pushing perfectly.
Right. People might look at the door, they might even grab the handle, open the door, and step inside.
But they aren't going to buy a single thing.
Exactly. Because there is literally zero value inside the building.
Yeah.
Tweaking a button color on a website that lacks a fundamental value proposition is literally just painting the front door of an empty store.
It is. Although I should mention, the source does concede the one singular instance where button color actually factors into the equation.
Oh, right. Basic optical contrast.
Yes. Yeah. Obviously, if you have a white button on a white background and it's literally invisible to the human eye, you have a problem.
Yeah. If they literally can't see it to click it, that's bad.
Right. But assuming basic accessibility standards are met and the button is legible, the specific hue has mathematically near zero impact on a B2B buyer's decision-making process compared to the actual substance of the offer.
So why do we do it? I mean, why do smart marketers constantly get sucked into this vortex of endless, meaningless A-B testing on design elements?
What's fascinating here is the psychology behind the metrics we choose to track.
Okay.
This obsession persists because it relies on the dopamine hit of micro conversions.
Oh, for things like scroll depth, time on page, and raw click volume, the vanity metrics.
Exactly. Those micro metrics create a very dangerous illusion of progress.
Right. You feel like you're doing something.
Yeah. An agency can run a test and proudly report, hey, we increased button clicks by 2.4% this week.
Ta-da.
Right. But if we look at the data, correlation does not equal causation. If those extra clicks don't translate into macro conversions, which means actual signed contracts or qualified pipeline leads, then you are literally just running a design art project masquerading as a business strategy.
Wow. A design art project. Which brings us to the core of DoubleDone's methodology for high impact conversion rate optimization.
The real meat of the article.
Right. Because if we know that aesthetic tweaks are a waste of resources, we need a structural framework for what to do when that rare high-intent buyer actually lands on the domain.
Yes.
And the source outlines a very specific user journey starting from the absolute first second the page loads.
The foundational requirement here is ruthless message clarity, which is governed by what the industry calls the five-second test.
The five-second test. I actually appreciate how brutally unforgiving this test
is. It is brutal.
Yeah. A user lands on your site. Can they identify exactly what you do and exactly who you do it for in 5 seconds or less?
It sounds elementary, honestly, but a staggering percentage of B2B websites fail this instantly.
Instantly.
They fall into the trap of what the article brilliantly labels poetic abstraction.
Oh my gosh, poetic abstraction is my ultimate pet peeve.
Oh, I know. It's everywhere.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's when you go to a company's website, let's say, they manufacture industrial HVAC systems.
Okay.
And instead of just saying, we build industrial HVAC systems, their massive hero headline says something wild like, empowering the synergies of tomorrow's atmospheric dynamics.
Yes. And by doing that, you are putting a massive cognitive load on the buyer.
Yeah, I have no idea what that means.
Exactly. You are forcing them to translate your corporate poetry into practical reality. And B2B buyers are overwhelmed, they are risking their company's budget, and they simply do not have the patience to solve riddles.
They don't.
Yeah.
And the source doesn't mince words here either. If your headline is a poetic abstraction instead of a crystal clear statement of solution, your site is actively bleeding revenue.
Actively.
Every single second that vague headline remained published, you're literally taxing your own conversion rate.
But assuming you fix that right and you pass the 5 second test, the visitor now actually understands your core competency.
They know you sell HVAC systems.
Exactly. They know you sell HVAC systems. So the immediate next step in the structural journey is evaluating what you're asking them to do about it.
The call to action, the ubiquitous CTA.
Yes. And the article drops a highly controversial stance regarding the most common call to action on the entire internet.
Oh, this is the part that got me.
They argue that relying on a generic contact us button is actually creating a massive bottleneck in your lead flow.
Okay, I have to push back on this pretty hard because this concept really tripped me up during my read of the source notes.
Okay, let's hear it.
Isn't contact us the entire point of a B2B service website? Yeah. Like if I run a consulting firm, my absolute dream scenario is that a prospect clicks a button that says contact us.
Sure.
So how can that possibly be categorized as a bad thing?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture of behavioral economics, we really have to evaluate the perceived exchange of value.
Okay.
Put yourself in the buyer's shoes for a second. When a website tells you to contact us, it is essentially issuing a demand. Yes. It is saying, give us your name, your corporate email, and your phone number, and in return, we will put you into a CRM so a sales rep can relentlessly cold call you starting tomorrow morning.
Oh, yeah. So from the user's perspective, the contact us button represents all effort and all risk with absolutely no guaranteed immediate reward.
Exactly. It is a high friction, low value request. You are demanding a significant amount of trust up front without proving your expertise first.
Wow, when you put it like that.
Right. So the methodology suggests replacing that generic demand with a high value offer. You must initiate a mutual equitable exchange of value.
But wait, let me challenge that too.
Go for it.
If I replace my generic contact form with something like a free customized strategy assessment or a downloadable industry data report, aren't I just going to attract a massive wave of freebie seekers? Because I don't want my sales team wasting their day talking to like college students doing research or competitors stealing my data. I want buyers.
That is a very valid operational concern, but the data proves otherwise.
Right.
A high value offer actually acts as an intent filter.
How so?
The source notes indicate that providing a proprietary assessment or a tangible immediate win converts at 3 times the rate of a standard contact form.
Three times.
And the trick is gating the right kind of value.
Okay.
A freebie seeker wants a generic checklist. But a serious buyer, someone experiencing acute operational pain, they are more than willing to hand over their contact information in exchange for a customized diagnostic of their specific problem.
I see the distinction now. So you are trading your diagnostic expertise for their contact data.
Exactly.
It shifts the entire dynamic from a one-sided demand to a reciprocal consultative relationship. And this is before the first sales call even happens.
You are establishing authority immediately.
Okay, let's look at the journey so far. We have a clear message that passes the 5-second test with no poetic fluff.
Check.
We have a strong, relevant offer that promises an immediate mutual exchange of value. But just because they decide they actually want the assessment doesn't mean they will necessarily finish the process.
And this is where we transition from marketing strategy into structural psychology,
okay,
specifically focusing on the eradication of friction.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because friction is so ubiquitous on the internet that we've almost become numb to how hostile it is.
We really have.
The source characterizes every unnecessary form field, every confusing navigation dropdown, and every slow-loading page as a literal tax on your conversion rate.
We can look at this through the lens of cognitive load theory. Extraneous cognitive load, meaning the mental effort required just to navigate your poorly designed interface, it depletes the user's willpower.
Think about it like a physical real-world interaction.
Okay.
Imagine you walk into a hardware store. You have a very simple goal. You just want to ask the clerk at the desk which specific type of masonry drill bit you need for a project.
A simple question.
Right. But before the clerk will even acknowledge your existence, they hand you a clipboard with a 3-page paper form demanding your middle initial, your annual household income, your job title, and your fax number.
In the physical world, the absurdity of that is glaring.
Totally.
You would drop your items on the floor, turn around, and walk out of the store in complete frustration.
Absolutely. You would leave immediately. And yet, B2B companies replicate this exact hostile experience on their websites every single day.
They do.
They want a user to download a basic 3-page PDF case study, and they throw up a form demanding the user's company size, their direct phone number, and a drop-down menu of their biggest challenges.
That artificial friction completely kills the momentum of a high-intent buyer.
It's a momentum killer.
Yes. To optimize a site for 2026, you have to ruthlessly audit your lead flow and strip away every single barrier that isn't strictly necessary for initial qualification.
Just gut it.
Gut it. However, merely removing friction doesn't actually guarantee the conversion.
Well, yeah, because even if the form is only 2 fields long, just like name and email, there is still a psychological hurdle to overcome right before they hit submit.
Which brings us to the crucial element of strategic trust signal placement.
When we say trust signals, just to clarify, we're talking about the social proof elements.
Yes.
Like client testimonials, verifiable case studies, industry certifications, security badges, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And the critical word in this concept is strategic.
Strategic?
The standard lazy practice in web design is to gather up all your positive reviews, dump them onto a single isolated page titled Testimonials, and bury the link to that page down on the website's footer menu.
A page that analytics will tell you absolutely nobody ever clicks on. Ever.
Never. Because trust is not a destination. It is a psychological requirement that flares up at very specific, predictable moments in the buyer's journey.
Let's analyze that exact moment. The user has filled out the form.
Okay.
Their cursor is literally hovering over the final submit button. That exact second is when buyer's remorse and risk aversion kick in.
It is a massive anxiety spike. They're suddenly wondering, are these people actually legitimate? Is my inbox about to be flooded with spam?
Am I going to get a million phone calls?
Exactly. Will I look foolish for recommending this vendor to my boss?
So that point of maximum anxiety is exactly where the trust signal needs to be deployed. Not hidden in a footer, but placed directly adjacent to the submit button.
Right there.
A concrete metric from a recognized client, a badge from a major industry association, or a direct quote, validating the specific offer.
It functions as a psychological safety net right when they are experiencing vertigo.
I love that phrase, psychological safety net.
Right. And when you synthesize these elements, the brutal clarity, the high value offer, the frictionless architecture, and the strategic deployment of trust, you fundamentally alter the DNA of your website.
It's totally different.
You are no longer managing a subjective design project. You have engineered the technical backbone of a predictable lead flow system.
The phrase technical backbone feels highly appropriate here, honestly, because it implies structural integrity rather than surface level decoration. It's engineering, not painting.
This raises an important question, however.
Okay, what's that?
We have spent this entire deep dive analyzing human psychology, right? How to mitigate buyer anxiety, how to respect their cognitive load, how to frame a value exchange.
Yeah.
But the reality of 2026 is that humans are no longer the primary audience reading your website.
The machine audience. This is the big paradigm shift.
It is. The structural principles we just discussed are absolutely critical for the new gatekeepers of the internet, large language models and AI search bots.
Because, as we established at the beginning with the AI slump, models like Gemini, Claude, and whatever powers the latest search interface, they're essentially doing the heavy lifting of internet research on behalf of the user.
They are the ultimate uncompromising bouncers to the club.
Bouncers to the club.
Yes. And the methodology these AI models use to evaluate a website is vastly different from the legacy search engine algorithms of the 2010s.
Oh, for sure.
They do not care about keyword density. They don't care about your backlink profile in the traditional sense, and they certainly cannot perceive what color your call to action button is.
You have eyes.
Exactly. They evaluate your digital presence based on a metric known as information gain.
Information gain. Let's dig into the mechanics of that. How does a piece of software mathematically calculate information gain?
At a fundamental level, the LLM is comparing the semantic richness of your website's text against its massive pre-existing training data.
Okay.
It is asking, does this specific domain add substantive, unique, and highly structured value to this topic? Or is it merely regurgitating the consensus baseline of information that already exists everywhere else?
So if your website is just echoing the same five bullet points as a Wikipedia article, your information gain score is essentially zero.
Precisely. Furthermore, the AI evaluates user task completion capability.
What does that mean?
It means, can a theoretical user land on this domain and seamlessly execute a solution to their query?
Oh, wow. This connects perfectly back to our earlier points.
Yes.
If your site is bloated with poetic abstractions, vague headlines, and generic stock photos of people pointing at whiteboards,
the worst.
The AI's natural language processor just sees unusable, unstructured fluff.
It interprets the lack of clarity as a literal lack of authority. Conversely, if your site architecture is pristine, if your messaging is literal, if you offer tangible, high-value assets, and if your claims are backed by structured, verifiable case studies, the AI categorizes your domain as a definitive, high-utility resource.
And what is the tangible business reward for achieving that status with the AI?
The AI cites you as the primary source in its generative answers.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Instead of a user getting a generic link to your homepage, the AI might process their highly specific query, determine that you are the authority, and provide a deep link directly to your customized assessment page, bypassing the search process entirely.
That is incredible. It actually functions as an automated referral engine directly to your conversion mechanism.
It does. The source notes that this dynamic facilitates a massive transition in business strategy. It moves a company away from the model of renting traffic,
where you just pour endless capital into standard ad networks, suffering high waste and low quality clicks.
Right. It moves you away from that and moves you toward an owned lead flow.
An owned lead flow.
A system that scales inherently because both human buyers and machine gatekeepers universally recognize it as the authoritative solution. This is how you achieve that transparent, undeniable, spent X made Y reporting that the CEO demands.
What is truly fascinating here is the underlying synthesis of this entire ecosystem.
Yeah.
Because if you look closely, AI models and frustrated human B2B dyers actually desire the exact same digital experience.
That is a somewhat counterintuitive thought, isn't it? You'd think optimizing for a bot would make the experience worse or robotic for a human.
Right. But think about the core requirements. Do human executives have the patience for vague, jargon-filled synergy headlines and generic stock photography?
Absolutely not. They hate it.
Neither does the AI. Do human buyers want to navigate a labyrinth of friction, filling out massive forms just to discover if your service is relevant to them?
No, they want immediate contextual answers.
And so does the AI. Both audiences relentlessly reward clear, highly structured, authoritative and frictionless information.
Exactly.
By optimizing your site's architecture for the psychological needs of the human, you are inherently feeding the AI exactly the structured data it craves.
You're hitting two birds with one stone.
High impact website CRO is not a zero sum game between humans and algorithms. It is about engineering maximum utility for both.
That is such an incredibly clarifying framework. It completely invalidates the anxiety of trying to trick an algorithm with SEO hacks or button colors.
You don't have to trick anyone.
No, you just have to build something undeniably clear, useful, and structurally sound.
So what does this all mean?
Ultimately, it means the era of aesthetic pixel pushing is over.
It's done.
Tweaking surface-level design elements provides negligible, unscalable ROI compared to fixing the structural drivers of your business. If you want a resilient growth engine in 2026, you have to stop treating your website like a subjective art project and start treating it as a transparent, high-performance system built on clarity, equitable value exchange, and frictionless trust.
Which brings us full circle. If you are sitting at your desk agonizing over whether a button should be green or red, you are focused on the wrong variable entirely.
Completely wrong variable.
You need to look at your core messaging, ruthlessly audit the friction in your conversion forms, and ask yourself if you are actually providing a concrete reason for anyone, human or machine, to trust you.
If we extrapolate this current trajectory out, however, it does leave us with a rather profound, almost unsettling theoretical concept to consider.
Oh. Where does this lead us?
Well, we have established that AI bots like Gemini and Claude are acting as the modern buyer's assistant right now. They are reading, filtering, and summarizing the internet so that busy executives don't have to spend hours researching vendors themselves.
They're doing the heavy lifting of the initial vetting phase.
Exactly. But if these large language models continue to improve exponentially at evaluating trust signals, assessing information gain, and determining the validity of a company's offerings, what happens when the AI is the only entity navigating the website?
Whoa, wait.
Think about it. If a B2B buyer fully delegates the entirety of their purchasing research and vendor selection to an autonomous AI agent, are we moving toward a future where websites are engineered exclusively for machine eyes?
Oh my God.
A future where human aesthetics, the color palettes, the visual layout, the brand typography are entirely irrelevant, and a corporate website becomes nothing more than a raw, headless data feed of pure value and cryptographic trust signals just waiting to be parsed by a bot.
Now, that is a wild, slightly terrifying thought to leave on.
It changes everything.
It really does. Imagine a digital landscape where the visual front end of a website doesn't even exist. Just pure, hyper-optimized information architecture communicating machine to machine.
We might be closer than we think.
We might just have to do an entire separate deep dive on the mechanics of that future. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Next time you visit a website or, you know, look at your own company's homepage, I highly encourage you to look past the pretty colors and view it through this new high-impact structural lens. Ask yourself, Does it pass the 5-second test, or is it just an empty store with a freshly painted door? Until next time, keep learning.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows, all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.